it's sort of a little bit melancholy that I have to say this is our last night, but hopefully it's not going to be our last time. Right. And that Beth will minister for us in this weekend of services, but I am anxious. I am anxious for the word that she has to bring. So come on, Sister Beth. Don't forget about, yes. Don't forget about her product table outside after service. I know Kurt would like to see you there. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Wow, that was awesome, wasn't it? Amen. Being in the presence of the Lord and what I think, you know, I hate to do it, but I think I'm going to turn this off. As bad as I hate it. There it is. No, I think I'm fixed to rotate it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There it is. Da 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 da. I thought, I think my skirts, I'd hate for it to be blowing around up here. So I didn't want to take a chance. I thought I better just go and take care of that thing. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Isn't it wonderful to see churches come together like this and worship together and thank the Lord? I don't think I've ever heard you sing. I don't think I've ever heard you as many times as we've been together in services. So it's wonderful to have Pastor Jim and Miss Kitty with us. And of course, Pastor Ron. Woo! It's good to have him. And all of you guests that are here. But as always, all of you home folks, we appreciate you coming. Coming back and being a part of what the Lord is doing here. And I'm just so grateful that Kurt and I get to have a little part in it. And even though, like Pastor said, it's kind of sad always for us when it comes to an end, our part comes to an end. But we do believe by faith that this is not the end. Amen. That we're just getting to be a part of what God is doing here, that this is just going to continue. And I pray that what the Lord's allowed us to do is just to put some fuel on the fire. Amen. Just to keep the fires burning. Hallelujah. Just to stoke the fire. I want to say, I've not really said this yet, but I just want to say also how much we appreciate Miss Vicky. She helped us, and you're the church secretary. I don't know if you're full-time, part-time, how all that works, but either way, she was a blessing to work with, kind of helped me through a little glitch that I had, and I appreciate it. And even had us snacks, wouldn't let her husband have them, and I'm grateful. At least that's what I heard. Well, we appreciate you, Miss Vicky, and all of you. It's just been a blessing to work with you, and especially Pastor and Sister Sarah. We just thank y'all. Y'all have been a blessing. It's wonderful to get to know you better, and found out that he's a Harley man. I didn't know that. Found that out. Found out he could also play the dobro. Bro, did I say that right? I was like, yeah, I was trying to say it right. I couldn't believe that. I'm just floored. And what a talent and a gift. Matter of fact, I told Kurt, I said, look that up. I said, look that up on YouTube. Let's check that out. I wonder, we ought to get Pastor to play that. I'd love to hear you sometimes, but what a gift and a talent. It's wonderful to have someone that can preach, but along with that is also gifted in other areas as well as administratively. And so we just thank the Lord for y'all. Thank y'all for letting Kurt and I come. And y'all have just been so kind and taking such good care of us, so hospitable. We've even truthfully, I kind of hate to admit it, but we've eaten the chocolate in his office as well. He did not know that until I kind of had to admit it because there was trash all in his trash can from the Butterfingers. But once you get through preaching, you're kind of hot and tired and going in there to kind of freshen up a little bit before I get out here on the road. And of all things, I mean, there's those Butterfinger. I mean, how do you say no to that? And they're tiny, so you don't feel guilty till you eat like three or four of them. And then, anyway, they've been a real blessing to us. And so open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. And I've just kind of felt in my spirit, really, yesterday, the Lord just, as I was saying the other day, sometimes the Lord gives you sermons early. Sometimes he gives them to you there at the end, kind of gives you the direction of where to go. And so tonight, I just really felt in my spirit to minister on the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, you may call him. This is just going to be a very basic message. I had the opportunity to preach about the Holy Spirit during one of our youth camps here. And what a blessing and an honor it is any time to get to share the truth about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just count it an honor. It's been quite a long time since I have went in this direction, but I just felt a stirring in my spirit toward this. And so with the help of the Lord, I'll share with you tonight. I want to read Acts chapter 2. It's just probably the most well-known scripture about the Holy Spirit. There'll be other scriptures I'd like to read, but let's begin in Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. And let's see what the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. I just want to be open to Him. And I'm just going to ask you, if you have any preconceived ideas or notions or thoughts about what I'm going to preach about, let's just let the Lord have His way. Would you do that tonight? Let's just be open to what God wants to do, and that He would just have His way in this service. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank You for this opportunity. I thank You again for what You've done already in these services. I thank You for those who have been here so consistently, musicians, the worship team. I thank You, Lord, for the ushers at the door, the ones that's worked in the nursery, the ones that's worked on the sound, or Lord, even the cameras. Lord, I just thank You. There's been so many involved, and I just praise You, Lord. I thank You for those who are hungry for You, hungry to serve You, hungry to do what You are calling us to do. And so, Lord, I just pray that tonight You would just have Your way. That's why we're here tonight. We're not here for our own agendas. We're not here because we think we figured it out. But we're here, Lord, because we want to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, I just ask You to speak through me, Lord, tonight. But also every ear that's here, anoint their ears to hear the word. Lord, maybe even there's things that You want to say that I might not even say out of my mouth. But, Lord, You may touch the hearts and the lives and spirits of the people that are here. And they would hear beyond just natural words, but they would begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so, Lord, we declare it again. We ask You again, just, Lord, have Your way in this service. And for everything that's accomplished, we understand and realize it's You. It's all because of You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody shout out amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I have to admit, this is probably one of my most favorite topics. It used to be the topic that I was the most intimidated to minister about. You may say, why in the world would you do that? I've been in a Pentecostal church all my life, but I realized that a lot of people had different ideas and different thoughts about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I would kind of shy away from it, especially when I was younger in ministry. I'd say, well, Lord, what if I say this? Or what if I do this? Or what if this one gets mad or upset or maybe doesn't quite understand? But one day I just realized, if I just preach the word stands for itself. And so that's what I want to do tonight. I just want to share the word of God with you tonight. I don't stand here in front of you with maybe the guideline from the Pentecostal Holiness Church or the Church of God or the Assembly of God or any other Pentecostal denomination. I don't do that. I don't think it's necessary, because it's the Word of God that's going to change lives. I thank God for denominations. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for that. But it's the Word of God that we need to know, that we have to hide in our heart so that we will understand and know the Lord, and so that we don't sin against Him. It's what the Word says. So today, whatever ideas you may have, let's just kind of put them over to the side and say, Lord, speak to us tonight. And so that's what I want to share with you for just a few moments. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. A lot of people knows God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. But tonight, I want to talk about the third person, God the Holy Ghost. Some people may call Him the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught up in that. Either way, it really just does not matter. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I believe it, like King James says, that I believe He's the Holy Ghost. Some people say, well, I don't know, that sounds old fashioned, that sounds weird, maybe He's just the Holy Spirit. Listen, so many times people get bundled up, kind of, we bumble over those words. Don't do that. Just let the Lord have His way in our lives and just speak to us. And whether you want to call Him the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, it really just does not matter. I always like to say it because I believe it's important. The main thing that matters today is that we desire Him in our lives. Amen. Is we want Him desperately in our lives. And one of the reasons that, well, I just have to follow the Lord, but I believe that one of the reasons that the Lord has put this on my heart so strongly today, it's because that the times that we're living in, I won't go into all of those details, you know it, you've been watching the news probably today, just like we have. We've been watching the news over the last weeks, months, years even, and we see where the world is, and we see that we're living in such difficult times and hard times and really confusing times. It's the time that we're living in, that what looks like what used to be wrong is now right. What used to be right is now wrong. And so today I find that it is absolutely a necessity for us to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. In the times that we're living in, there is just absolutely no way that we're going to be able just to do the best we can and to make it through to the end. There's no way. We must have the power of God residing on the inside of us. Amen. We must have Him. And so when people get all caught up over the words and what to call Him, and, well, if you don't say it like this, I'm mad. You know, that needs to be the past. That's yesterday. That's over. That's gone. Let's just get hungry for more of the Lord. And what I find in the Word of the Lord is this. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but He's leaving in the flesh. He said, I am leaving, but I'm not leaving you here by yourself. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Comforter to you. Amen. And we know today who the Comforter is. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus said, I am leaving, but I'm not leaving you by yourself. I am sending the Comforter. And then He tells them to go. He's ascending into heaven. Jesus is. And then He tells them, He said, you go and you stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And so we see there in Acts chapter 2, where I begin to read. If you've not read the book of Acts in a long time, you ought to read it. Amen. You just need to make that part of your study before the end of the year, because the book of Acts is so powerful. Know this, the book of Acts means the actions of the apostles. Amen. The book of Acts. A lot of people just say, well, that's the book of Acts. But what it means is the action of the apostles. That's very powerful. In other words, it means the power of God working through the apostles as they did the same works that Jesus did when He walked on this earth. And so Jesus told them, He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And so we see them as they go to that upper room, and that's where we begin to read there in chapter 2. They go to that upper room, they've been praying, they've been seeking the Lord, and finally what happens is exactly what Jesus said. The Holy Ghost comes on this earth, amen, and He fills every believer in that upper room there that day. Every believer, every person that was hungry, everyone that was looking, everyone that was seeking, everyone that was waiting, tarrying, holding on to the truth, to the promise that Jesus Christ gave. So there they are in that upper room, and then something begins to happen. Hallelujah. And it's exciting. So let me read it one more time. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now there's so much sermon material here, but you're going to have to depend on your pastor, on Pastor Jim. You're going to have to wait on Pastor Ron to give y'all all the detail, and all these other pastors that are here. Y'all can preach the other details. I'm just going to give you a quick overview, but it's exciting. But notice, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they were all in unity. Every one of them were waiting. They were all believing together. They were all trusting the word of the Lord that was going to come to pass. They didn't know what it was going to look like. They didn't know what it was going to sound like. All they knew was that they were hungry for more of God. Jesus had left in the flesh, but they missed him so much. But he says, don't worry, I'm going to send my spirit. And then notice in verse 2, and suddenly, I love that word suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Right there in that upper room, there came a sound. That's why today I still don't quite understand it. Now some people say it's disrespect. Some people say, well, we're trying to be reserved. We're trying to, be respectful of God and of other people and how people feel. But here's the bottom line. Amen. The New Testament church was a noisy church. Amen. It's just the truth. I'm not telling you they got out of order. I'm not telling you they were rowdy. I'm not talking about that now, so don't get me wrong. But I find that there was noise in the New Testament church. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, amen, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, on every last one of them in that upper room. There were about 120 in that upper room. It says on every one of them, there set tongues of fire. And then it goes on and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is inferred here that they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. So when I began to look at what's happening here, people will ask me sometimes, and they'll say, Beth, is it necessary? We are saved. We're on our way to heaven. Is it necessary for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's just think about it, maybe as best we can, from the heart of the Lord. If the Lord says, I am leaving, but I'm sending you the Comforter, go and wait for Him to come. If the Lord said that to His believers all those years ago, don't we believe today that even more so we need the Holy Spirit to reside on the inside of us, to live on the inside of us, so in these troubled and dark times we can be prepared, we can be full of power, we can be full of Him so much so that we are not afraid of what's coming from the left or from the right, what's coming from behind, what somebody's going to say, but we step up to the power of the Lord, and God will put the word in our mouth. God will go before us. God will make that way. Hallelujah. You and I need in these last days the power of God working through us. Amen. Amen. People say, well, that's just because you're Pentecostal. Absolutely not. That is not true. It's because it's the Word of God. It's because that's what the Word of the Lord teaches us. If it was not necessary for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus would have never said what He said there to those disciples. He would have said, y'all go on home. Things are going to work out. I hope everybody does good. I've enjoyed this time down here with you, but I'm going to go ahead and leave, and I just hope y'all do the best you can. But He didn't do that. He said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you to prepare you, to get you ready for you to do the same works that I do. Now, when I begin to look here, it's one of my favorite scriptures, and I use it all the time. And John, I believe it's John 14 and verse 12, and Jesus said it. Jesus said, look it up for yourself. If I've got the wrong reference, Kurt will tell you what it is after service. So I think that's it. But Jesus said it. It's written in red. Jesus said, verily, verily. In other words, when you see that word verily, verily, it means surely, surely. It means you can trust me. Listen to what I'm saying. When you see Jesus use that twice, it means hear what I'm saying. Listen to me. I've got something to tell you. You can trust what I'm about to say. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, the works that I do, the same works shall you do, but even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father which is in heaven. Now, what happened when Jesus went to his Father in heaven? He sent the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, you'll be able to do the same works that I do, but even greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. When he went to his Father, the Holy Ghost came, and that is what enabled the followers to do the same works and even greater works that Jesus did. That's why, again, we call the book of Acts the Action of the Apostles. It's because when Simon Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost in that upper room, that he stepped out of that upper room and he began to preach the gospel. And when he did, thousands come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it didn't end there. You see that in chapter 3, that the disciples came upon the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, I believe. And he was lame. They looked at him. They said, silver and gold, I don't have that. But what I do have, I'll give it to you. And they took him by the right hand and they lifted him up. In other words, his body was healed. Did they heal him? No, it wasn't them that healed that man. But it was the one, the power of God that was on the inside of him. And when he reached his hand out and he lifted him up, who was it? It might have looked like Peter or John's hand, but it was the power of God working through him. I want to tell you today, again, in these last days, in these troubled times, in this weary land, you and I need the power of the Holy Ghost to continue to do the work that Jesus did. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. People will say, well, I'm saved. And it is the Holy Spirit that draws us to salvation. And you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right about it. It's the Spirit that draws us to the cross, that draws us to salvation. We talked about that the other day. I believe it might have been Sunday morning. Maybe, I think it was here, and we talked about the Holy Spirit reproving, did we talk about that here? Reproving how that the Holy Spirit would convict and convince people of their sin, of their life, and needing to come to the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. But we find here that this is different from that place of the Spirit in you, drawing you to salvation. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is when He fills you to overflowing. I'm just kind of putting it in simplified form. But this is where He comes in and He fills us to the point that we are flowing out. Amen. Now He's not just drawing us to salvation, but now He's filled us up so that we can go out into the highways and the byways, into the hedges and all of these dark places, and we can begin to speak with power and the anointing, where people can hear the word of God and they can be changed, amen, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So today we need Him. I know it's hard sometimes for us to think about it like that, and we think, well, I'm good, I'm on my way to heaven. But if you're satisfied with that, then maybe you're okay. You just stay right where you are. But if you're not satisfied with just barely making it through the pearly gates and dragging through, then I'm talking to you. If you say, Beth, I want to lead a life that is filled with the power of God, this message is for you. If you say, I want to continue to do the works that Jesus did, I want Him to use me, then this message is for you today. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I'm okay here. I'm okay. I just making it through. But I'm going to be honest with you today. I hope you don't mind me just being blunt. Shame on you. Amen. Hey, just look at your neighbor and say, she's talking to you. It always makes you feel a little bit better to point at somebody else, doesn't it? Shame on us. Because we're not here just to do our own will. But it's like Jesus said, I'm here to do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus said. I'm here to do what God has called me to do. And it is the will of the Lord that none should die lost, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know what that means? It means that you and I must be filled to walk. I've already said it over and over. I want to say it again. To walk in that power and that anointing of the Holy Ghost that will draw people to Christ. Amen. So I want to give you a thought about it today, and it's probably an example I've used for years and years, but I'd like to use this example again because it makes sense to some of us who are just a little simple-minded, and I'm one of those, so I'll tell you. I don't know, the Lord gave me this example. And I'll share it with you. It's about a car. And I am not a car person. I like cars because they get me back and forth to the mall. I'm grateful for that. So I'm grateful for vehicles. But let me just explain to you a little bit what I'm talking about. I'll never forget it. I was just young. I guess, anywhere from about 17, maybe 16, 17 years old, something like that. And I worked for a couple that owned a Christian bookstore. And I had it was a good little job there while I went to school. I had to be at least 18 because I owned my own little car at the time. And it was just a little car, but it was a good car. I was proud of it, you know. It was the first car I'd ever owned. It was used. It was already wore out when I bought it, but I was glad to have it, you know. But it was just a little four-cylinder. And you know how it is. Once they're already wore out, they just kind of sputter and putt along. And that's what I knew. I just knew that little, you know, yee-haw. You know, that's kind of that feeling. It was the kind, now just to be honest with you, it was the kind that, my goodness, if I was going up a big hill, I'd turn the radio off, the windshield wipers off, the lights off, you know, and roll the window down and help it get up that, come on, we can do it. You know. And it wasn't like you just put the pedal to the metal is what you did. Well, but the truth is the little thing would get me where I was going. It was a Toyota, so of course it did. It would get me to where I was going. And I still drive Toyotas, by the way. This is not a plug for Toyotas, but if you don't have a good car, a Toyota's a good car for you. So I still drive. That's all I've ever driven. My husband gives me a hard time. He sells used cars. And I said, if you don't have a Toyota on the lot, it ain't worth going to. I said, everybody needs some Toyotas. And so, but anyway, that little car, it did me good. And I had it for a number of years. But I can tell you, to get up those hills, really, it was a struggle. I mean, I'm not just saying that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like I said, it was a much older car. And I'm telling you, I'd struggle to get that thing up those hills. And it was after I'd already started preaching some. And I can remember going up and down those hills in the middle of bad weather and the middle of the night by myself, living away from home. And I think, Lord, please don't let it fail me now. But I'll never forget this. This was, I guess, like I said, I was probably a little less than 20 years old, somewhere around in there. But the lady that I worked for, they had a Cadillac. La 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 la. It was awesome. You know, I just didn't know much about it. We had a V8. Now, my mom and daddy, we had a V8, but you know, it was in the late 80s and we had a 73. So if that tells you anything, I really didn't know what a V8 could do. And so anyway, she put me in that Cadillac one day, though I won't ever forget. I came into the store and she said to me, she said, Beth, I got to make a deposit and it's got to be made today. And they're going to close in 10 minutes. And so she put that deposit bag in my hand and I went to get my little keys to my little Toyota and take off. And she said, no, just take my car. I was like, woo, you got it. I took that Cadillac, those keys. I went in there. I cranked that thing up. And I mean, this is the truth. I felt like it was the truth. At least that's what it felt like in my mind. I mean, I touched that gas. And the next thing I knew, I was waving at the bank teller. I thought, I don't know how I got here so fast. But here you go. I'm telling you, I got back to that store with 9 minutes left. I was amazed at the power of that car. Now, you may think it's ridiculous, but ever since then, I've always thought, I loved a Toyota, but I thought those Cadillacs will go. I wouldn't mind having one of those things. But here's the truth of the matter. There was something different with that engine. And I come to find that out after a little bit of time. I come to find out what a V8 was and the power that was behind that thing. I don't understand it to the fullest. I just know those things will go. And this may sound a little bit irreverent. I hope you don't take it that way because I don't mean it that way. I think the Lord just showed me this with my simple way of thinking about it. He said, you know, Beth, when you get saved, that Toyota will get you there. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation when we've been washed and cleansed in the blood. Amen. And that our sins are washed away. The greatest gift of all. Hallelujah. But he said, but when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it is like jumping in a car with eight cylinders? Is that right? Jumping in a car with eight cylinders. I just know you call it a V8. He said there's something about it. All of a sudden, those mountains don't seem nearly as high, and those valleys don't seem nearly as deep. And if you'll just get filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, you'll get to the end of your road. You'll get down the path I've called you to. But when you're filled with the Spirit, it'll be a lot easier ride. It'll be a lot less painful. It'll be a lot simpler. Amen. A lot more power behind you. Amen. I know today you say, well, that sounds just a little bit simple. It does. But it makes the point, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You and I, we need the Holy Ghost. And if you're not careful, the enemy will convince you that he's not necessary for you. You're doing just fine where you are. But I can promise you, if Jesus saw it necessary to send the Holy Ghost to his 120 believers in that upper room, then today I believe I need him. Amen. And today I know I want him. Hallelujah. I want to say that again. I know I need him, but it's more than that. I know I want him. Hallelujah. I want the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something that crosses my mind sometimes is this. I see a lot of churches today. I go in a lot of churches, a lot of different denominational churches. All different kinds. And this is what I find. I find that without the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of good things that they do. I want to be careful how I say it so it's not offensive. But there's a lot of things that people will do. They have to consistently make changes to keep people interested, to keep people coming back, to keep young people involved. And I believe in all of this. Don't get me wrong. But I can tell you, When the power of the Holy Ghost is in your services, you don't have to beg people to show up. You don't have to entertain people. You don't have to do all these little extra things to try to make it look like you're all of that. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your services and people see God moving in supernatural ways, they will just automatically want to come back to see what God is doing. Now, let me make it clear. I believe in staying relevant, although I'm about sick of that word. I do believe in staying relevant. I do believe we don't have to be in the dark ages to be Christians. But I do believe that a lot of people are trying to fill in the gap for not being spirit-filled churches. And we try to entertain, when really all people are looking for is the power of God in our services, in these altars, in our worship team. I'm telling you, they are looking for the Lord to move in supernatural ways in our lives. Amen. We're hungry for the Holy Ghost. And here's the problem. I don't know why I'm just telling you how I feel today, but I'm just going to trust that it's just from the Lord. Here's the problem. A lot of times, our young people, our generation that we're living in, maybe not just all young people, but the generation we're living in, they know they're hungry for something, but a lot of them don't know what they're hungry for because they're not hearing anything preached from our pulpits about this third person of the Godhead. They're not hearing what He wants to do. They're not hearing what happened on the day of Pentecost. They're not hearing what God can do in their everyday lives, in their marriages, at their workplaces, amen, in their homes, for their children. But if you and I would begin to declare it and quit worrying about being so politically correct, but let people know we understand and believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, it would give this world something to say, that is what I'm looking for. That is what I want. That is what I'm hungry for. Amen. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I've seen too many churches embarrassed about the move of the Spirit. And I've seen too many people today, instead of letting God move and have His way. Again, I want to make sure you understand, I'm not talking about weirdos. Amen. I just thought I'd go and throw that out there. Because, you know, people can get weird. And I ain't talking about weird. I'm talking about the true move of the Spirit. This is what I know. When there is a real, there'll be a counterfeit. That's the truth. When there is a real, there'll always be a counterfeit. So you're going to have people do some weird things and get out of line things that are not backed up with the Word of the Lord. Whatever you do, you be sure it's backed up with the Word of the Lord. But sometimes when things start getting weird and people start getting uncomfortable, the first thing they want to do is shut it all down. But here's the deal. You've heard this old saying, there's no need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, there's times that things get out of hand, but that's where the Lord gives us wisdom to say, no, that's not right. No, that's not biblical. This is what the Word of the Lord says. That's why we need preaching and teaching and understanding about the power of God and the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Hallelujah. Too many churches have shut down a move of God because they're afraid it's going to get out of hand and it's going to be a little wildfire. But I would encourage you today in your own hearts to say, Lord, I want You. I want more of You. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know maybe what it's going to sound like. All I know is I'm not satisfied where I am and I am hungry for more of God. Amen. See, that's the thing. I just want to show you something that keeps coming to my spirit, so let me show it to you. I don't believe they had any idea there was going to be a sound involved. Jesus never said it's going to sound like a rushing mighty wind. He never said that. So what you and I have to do is we've got to get all these preconceived ideas out of our mind.
and say, well, it's going to happen like this. I believe it's going to happen like this. I bet we're going to see it happen like this. We're going to see it happen like this. No. I can tell you, when God begins to move, don't put Him in a little box and say, if you do it like this, then I'll know it's you. No, I believe when He began to move in that upper room and they began to look around and said, my goodness, I hear a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Keep in mind, it didn't say that the wind was blowing, but they heard a sound that sounded like it. They said, we don't know what's going on around here. But then all of a sudden, there appeared like cloven tongues of fire on every head. They could have said, no, like this. Somebody's got to quit. I'm getting out of here. This is weird. No, they said, I don't know exactly what God's doing. All I know is this. He told us to wait, and He was going to move, and I've seen what God can do, and I want to be right in the middle of what He's doing in these days of the New Testament church. And can I tell you today, I don't see that the book of Acts has ever ended. I believe you and I are writing the final chapters. And just like the Lord used the apostles, He wants to use you and I to continue His work for His kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Well, let me keep going for a moment. I'm going to close in just a minute. Let me show you what happened with Simon Peter. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, I've already mentioned it, but let me just read you the scripture for it, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all of you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. I'm telling you about a man named Simon Peter that just a short time before began to follow Jesus from afar off. But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, now all of a sudden we see that the Holy Spirit has given Peter wisdom in how to instruct those who are lost and without the Lord. You say, Beth, I want to be used in these last days, but I don't even know how to tell people about Jesus. Then you need the Holy Ghost, because He will instruct you on what to say, on how to say it, on when to say it. He will give you divine wisdom. He will give you discernment. You need the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, with the help of the Lord, I'll read it. It said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall... And the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What happened? After they were filled with the power of God, they were able to be witnesses for Jesus everywhere they went. You say, I want to be used by God. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll do this every so often, but I think it's important. Right now, again, look at your neighbor. Say it like you mean it. Say, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me show you something else that happened in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I won't go into all the details that's behind it, although it's really powerful. You need to read it for yourself. But it says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. In other words, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, there came a power on them and a boldness that it didn't matter who they were talking to. It didn't matter what names they were coming up against. It didn't matter the people who didn't believe, but there was a courage and a boldness that would take over them, and they'd begin to speak the word of God without being timid or shy or worried what people would think. And today, in this day of political correctness, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need that boldness to step out in faith and declare the truth of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In a time when we're seeing things happen like they did yesterday. Or things happen like they did maybe a couple of years ago there in Charleston. Or see things happen like they did in that church up in Tennessee fairly recently. You would say, you would be tempted to say, maybe we need to change things. Maybe we need to do this or to do that. And I believe there could be some changes made. But the bottom line is this. When we are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, there comes a boldness and a courage that says, I don't care what the devil says or what the devil does. I'm stepping out in faith and I'm declaring the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost. We need Him today. Let me show you more right quick. And I'll just try to make this short, but I've got so much rolling through my mind, I could preach all night right here. But I'm trying to be nice to everybody that has to work tomorrow. Notice, if you would, Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Let me show you Simon Peter here. It said, in so much. Again, this is just one scripture, but I'm just giving you just the point. Acts chapter 5, 15, it said, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and on couches, that at least the shadow of Jesus, nope, no, it did not say Jesus, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them, and what it meant if you read on around it, and that they would be healed. You say, oh, that must have been Jesus. No, it was Simon Peter they were speaking about. But it wasn't just him again. It was the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost that was in him. And so when he passed down that road, you say it was Peter's shadow, but it was the power of God moving through him that people were healed and delivered and set free today. Amen. We could go on and on. I could tell you more. There's so many. I've got so many scriptures here. Let me read one more. Acts 9 and verse 34. And Peter said unto him, I hope I'm saying this word right, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. A sick man. But here Simon Peter was. And he said, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make thy bed. Who have we always heard to say that? Take up thy bed and walk. Jesus. We hear Jesus say that over and over. But now this is not Jesus saying it. Now it is Simon Peter who is speaking life over that man. And guess what happened? He arose immediately. In other words, as we said a little bit ago, the same thing that Jesus did, now his apostles are doing it. His followers are doing it, amen, and they are allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to work through them, let me say it currently, to work through us. That's what God wants today. There's so many. I'm just going to stop there, because I could tell you more and more. It's exciting. You may say, well, Beth, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit before. I know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm good. So this message is good, but it's probably just not for me. Well, let's just go on and clarify that just so you'll know. You won't go home wondering. This message is for you. You say, what are you telling me? I'm telling you this. If you begin to look in the book of Acts, they were filled in chapter 2. You look in chapter 4. And there, the power of God is fallen in chapter 4. Said the place was praying. Everybody was praying. And the roof began to shake through the power of God. You see over and over where they were filled and refilled. You go to chapter 10 and the Holy Ghost fell on them in chapter 10. Over and over and over. You see them filled and then you see them refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled. And it's one of the problems in the church today. We look around, we go, oh yeah, I remember what it was like that day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But that's all you remember, because you've never had a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. You need a fresh infilling. Amen. You do. You need a fresh infilling. You say, give me an example. I will. Thank you for asking.
I don't know how many of you have what do y'all have, a minute lube or quick lube around here? I don't know where y'all get your oil changed. Walmart. Praise the Lord. Walmart does everything. I told my husband today, I said, my goodness, they do everything. Just about, don't they? But you know, all of a sudden, my daddy told me this years ago. I'm just about to close, so hold on, but this is important. My daddy's a quiet man. You will not find much ever repeated that he said because he said so few things. He was just quiet. And just kind of an introvert. And one thing my daddy told me before I moved away from home, he said, "Now, Beth, that little Toyota I had," he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "You get that oil changed every 3,000 to 4,000 miles. Don't go over it." He said, "Get it changed. And you got to do it regularly. Don't forget. It is a must." He said, "The life of that motor is in the oil." Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? He said, "The life of that motor is in the oil." Praise the Lord. I think somebody else probably could preach the rest of this. That's powerful, isn't it? I'm telling you, I didn't think a thing about it when I was young like that. But it didn't take me long to get a spiritual application in there. See, because he told me, if that little oil light ever comes on, you stop right there and don't you go any further. He said, it'll tear your car to pieces. He said, you call somebody to come get you, bring you some oil, whatever you have to do. Don't you dare let that oil light come on and drive like that. He said, your car, it'll be the end of your vehicle. I'm telling you, I got to thinking about that one day. And I realized this, that it doesn't matter if you have evangelist Beth Stevens Johnson. I don't care what title you got. I don't care if you got Cadillac, Toyota. I don't care if you have Mercedes or Lexus or you have Honda or a Chevy. I don't care what title you are. You're still going to have an oil change. I don't care if you're evangelist, if you are pastor, if you are a brand new believer, if you've been saved all your life, if you got filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years ago. Guess what? We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Just like every car is going to have an oil change, I want you to know every one of us needs to be endued with fresh power and fresh oil from on high. Psalms 92, I believe it is, verse 10, it says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Hallelujah. Some of you been driving around with your oil light on. Amen. It's time for you to pull up into the Maxi Lube, into the Walmart, and say, "Holy Ghost, I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. Fill me to overflowing. I need you, oh Lord." Amen. If you'll help me to close. "I need you, oh Lord." We need Him fresh. What happens if we're not careful is that we have a testimony. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 13 years old. Thankful. So thankful for that day. But Lord forbid, that is the last time that I've ever experienced the fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord forbid. Lord forbid some of you in here say, "Oh yeah, I remember we were having revival back in 1993. And that's when it happened for me." If you don't have a fresh testimony of a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, this sermon's for you. Amen. It is. It's for me. It's for us in this place. Can I just be frank with you for a moment? When we're walking around in this world like we're walking in, when we're dealing with things that we never thought we'd have to deal with in our lifetime, when we're dealing with situations that far surpass what our minds can even comprehend, when we walk into grocery stores and see filth on the magazine stands around us, when you're just turning your TV on and the commercials are worse than the actual shows. You know what I'm talking about? When you're just dealing with the everyday junk of this world, you need the fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost today. In your everyday life, in dealing with your children every day, you need the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to tell you really what I feel in my spirit. I've said this many times before, but I want to say it again. If you're a mother, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a daddy, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a husband, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a wife, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a preacher, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're a senior citizen, you need the Holy Spirit. If you are a single man or woman, you need the fresh and filling of the Holy Ghost today. If you're a young person, if you're a child, if you're in high school, if you're in grade school, you need the Holy Ghost today. If you're a missionary, you need the Holy Ghost today. You say, what do you mean? I'm telling you, we all need the fresh and filling of the Holy Ghost and fire in our lives. In our lives. Let's stand up on our feet today. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, this sermon didn't have point 1, 2, and 3. Sometimes it just doesn't happen like that. I just kind of preached what was on my heart tonight. I hope that's all right. But I want to encourage you today. You say, Beth, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I want what you're talking about. I want Jesus to use me like He used those apostles. Like He used those believers. I want to be used like that. I can tell you, He desires for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. As much or more than you even want to be filled. You say, Beth, how do I do it? Number one, you must be born again. You must first be born again. And today, if you are born again and you are truly hungry for the things of God and hungry for God to move in your life, if you are hungry and you say, Beth, I don't want anything to hold me back. There is no habit that I have that's worth me staying into if it will keep me from being the man or woman God's called me to be. There's nothing that I'm involved in that's more important to me than having more of God. That's what I'm talking about. When you get to that point in your life and you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're ready. You're ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did I say you had to be perfect? No. Because if you're already perfect, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit, would you? I can tell you, you've got to be hungry. You've got to desire Him more than anything in this world. If you're that man or woman and you say, Beth, I don't want to leave here like I walked in. I don't care if you have evangelist by your name or pastor by your name or teacher by your name or apostle or prophet or missionary or worker for the kingdom, whatever it is. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. No one looking around for just a moment. If you say, Beth, that sermon's for me today and I don't want to leave here without a fresh move of God in my life. I want the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up just as high as you can. I see your hands. Amen. You say, Beth, I want to be filled fresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. If that's you, just lift your hand up as high as you can and say, that's me. Maybe you say, I've already been filled, but I want to be refilled. I want to be refilled. I don't want to take a risk of going out of this place and not having everything God's got for me. I want more. If that's you, would you just wave your hand to heaven today and say, I want to be filled fresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. Then I'm going to ask you right now, on the count of three, if you are born again, I'm talking to you. If you are not born again, then I want to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask all of you who want to be filled with the precious Holy Spirit to come to this altar. But before I do, is there anybody here that you say, Beth, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord? If I were to die right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Is there anybody here that you'd raise your hand and say, you're talking to me, Beth? Is there anybody here? I don't see anybody's hands raised. So on the count of three, I want you to come. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. 1, 2, 3. Come on right now. And let's come to this altar. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to stand, you can stand. I want you to come. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you, Lord. I want a fresh and filling. Now I'm going to ask every pastor that you will, every pastor and every leader that pastor knows, would you help me at this altar? We've got hungry people here. I'm hungry myself. Would you come? Pastor Jim, come.
Sister Kitty, come. Pastor Rod, will you come? I don't know the rest of you. Pastor, yes. Please help me in this altar. Let's begin to lay hands on those in this altar.